Welcome to the August 7th, 2019 meeting of the Board of Directors of the Eastern Municipal Water District. We always start our meetings off with a Pledge of Allegiance. I will ask everyone to stand. Jeff Wall, would you like to lead us this morning in the pledge?
Please join us in our flag.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This morning we have Director Sullivan, who is out of town on EMWD business, joining us telephonically, and I'm going to ask our council to just review our policy on a board member joining us by telephone for an official meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, the policy is governed by Government Code Section 54953, which discusses the requirements for teleconferencing meetings. So we have Director Sullivan appearing telephonically. I just want to walk through a couple of preliminaries with Director Sullivan to ensure that we have compliance with Section 54953. Director Sullivan, the noticed agenda has you at a location of 921 Southwest 6th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. Is that your location?
Yes. Okay. And I have also sent a picture of the posting of the agenda, and I have one member of the public here that will verify that and make sure that the door continues to be open.
Okay. You kind of preempted me. I was going to ask you if your location is accessible to the public. It sounds like it is, since a member of the public is present. Is that correct? Okay. Moving forward, Mr. Chair, I'd just like to remind the Chair that all votes must be taken by roll call pursuant to this statute. And in my view, we're in compliance with the teleconferencing location given the representations of Director Sullivan.
Very good. Thank you very much. And just for the record, myself, Phil Pauly is in attendance here at the dais. Director Record, Director Slauson, I believe Director Corona is absent today from the meeting. With that, we will go on to public comment. This is comments for anything that is not currently on our agenda today. I do realize we have some speaker cards for people that would like to speak on an item further down on the agenda. I do not have any speaker cards on anybody wishing to speak for general public comment. Does anybody wish to do general public comment? Seeing none, thank you very much. With that, we will go to the executive reports. Mr. Jones, will you give the general manager's report, please?
Thank you. Good morning, Vice President Pauly, members of the board. My written report's included in the board item. A couple of things I want to update the board on. One item that is coming to the board today are our Metropolitan Cyclic Storage deliveries. On August 1st, with the concurrence of Matt, we commenced taking deliveries under the Cyclic Storage Credit Program. That program, Metropolitan put in place by prior board approval, that provides up to $225 per acre foot to offset agency's costs for additional in-lieu deliveries. Met finds itself in a very excellent position from a water supply standpoint this year. The state water project is at a 75% yield, and so Metropolitan's general manager triggered the program's availability on August 1st. We started taking water. If you qualify the water we've taken starting from August 1st, and that water will qualify for a discount based on the agreements that we have before you today. In addition, we also have agreements for consideration today for Rancho California Water District. We've been coordinating very carefully with Rancho, and they will also be participating on the program, not only through Eastern Municipal Water District, but Western Municipal Water District. Rancho's board is scheduled to consider the credit program agreements with both Eastern and Western on August 8th. We had an ad hoc committee meeting with Western yesterday, or Rancho yesterday, and they confirmed that it's still on their agenda. Good news. We're going forward. We'll have a full report on that. But water is going into the ground under the Met Surplus Water Storage Program. Under past and ongoing activities, pleased to report we're kind of getting down to the final strokes on our legislation, SB 414, the Small System Water Authority Act, that we are co-sponsoring with CMUA. As I reported previously to the board, we are through the Senate and we are through all the policy committees on the Assembly. The bill currently resides in the Assembly Appropriations Committee. On July 24th, we had an opportunity to go up to Sacramento, and we met with the executive staff and council for the State Water Resources Control Board. We had our representatives from Eastern and CMUA and also Senator Caballero's office. The purpose of the meeting is we got some feedback from the administration that the state board still had some substantial concerns with the bill. We want to avoid a possible veto on the bill, so we felt that we needed to proactively engage the state board. We have engaged the state board previously, and we're a little concerned to hear that there were still outstanding issues. But the meeting went quite well. We met with their council, and they articulated very, very specific issues that they had with the bill. It was very productive and some really straightforward feedback from them. So after the meeting, we met with the author's office and CMUA, engaged our outside counsel, and we have substantially amended the bill to address those concerns. We turned the bill around, even though it was a major rewrite, within a few days, got that back to the state board and also to Ledge Council. They're reviewing that right now. We are awaiting feedback from the state board, and once we get the green light from them, we'll push the bill across back into the Appropriations Committee. We'll ask for the fiscal analysis to be redone, which will actually show a much lower cost for the bill, and then hopefully be able to clear the Appropriations Committee and get the bill on the Assembly floor for a vote. So it's been a real fire drill in the last few days, but I think it's been good that we've gotten very good direct feedback from the state board. Other items on our imported water for groundwater replenishment, we're really doing well this year. We've recharged 8,750 acre feet, including 4,665 acre feet of Saboba settlement pre-deliveries for the 2020 year. At our current rate of recharge, which is about 41 CFS, we will recharge all the 2020 pre-deliveries by mid to late September, and we will, if MET continues to make the water available under and would like us to take deliveries for their Saboba obligations, we would start to do that for the 2021 deliveries. We've been coordinating carefully with the other water master agencies so they know this is coming. They've all said they have the money available to and realize the benefit of getting the water this year. And so we're moving forward with that if that's available. But we will likely start taking 2020 pre-deliveries in September. And the last item I want to mention briefly, and we are going to have a thorough report on this at the September Planning Committee and Board meeting, is we had a really good event here last Saturday, a water conservation-related event, and it was for our drip kits. As you recall, we talked to the board about those. So we had a Saturday community workshop held at the district offices. Over 100 people attended the event. We distributed 85 of the drip kits. What was interesting is, you know, we put on these events and people RSVP, and then, you know, you have some people don't show up. 100% of the people who RSVP came to the event. So it was really a remarkable event, a very positive feedback. And it really shows we have a very strong support still for conservation in the service area. In fact, if you look at our conservation rates relative to 2013, which is our baseline year, our per capita consumption is still 22% below that. And so customers are still very interested in conservation. So we're going to come back to the board in September, as I mentioned, and the planning committee. We'll give you a full update on that and the related conservation programs. But again, we're still seeing strong interest in those types of programs in the service area. That concludes my report. Are there any questions, comments?
Questions? No?
Sure.
Thank you very much. Nick, do you have a report this morning?
I'd just like to share one item with you. We had the opportunity last week, when I say we, there's Joe Muwad, John Moore, and myself, to meet with Stuart McGippin. He is the new city engineer for the city of Paris, city of San Jacinto, and also the public works director for the March JPA. He is replacing Habib Motlaw, who is retiring. And let me clarify, he will be taking over the city engineer responsibilities for the city of Paris starting in November. There will be a transition phase. So we reached out to him, invited him over to Eastern, gave him a quick 101 of what Eastern is all about. It was a very, very good discussion. He had a lot of great questions. We toured the IOC facility. It looks like we got off to a good, you know, good start, off to a good foot here, and I think we're going to have a good, positive working relationship with him. He has had a lot of questions. He seemed to be very much focused on our capital improvement projects and how it affects the public traffic, street right-of-way, very much interested in the dirt hauling operation that's going on here, and the Mountain Avenue West project, our new recharge facility, which we just received bids on. So just wanted to share that with you. We'll continue to work with him, and I think it was a good positive meeting and a good start.
I could add, I've known him for a number of years. He's been with Riverside County Flood Control. He's always been very knowledgeable and reasonable and tries to work out a project or whatever you're doing.
Yeah, he's got a lot of history, and he's familiar with Eastern, and a number of our staff have worked with him over the past, so I think there's going to be a good partnership there.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you so much. Ms. Nawara?
Nothing.
Anything? Mr. Mawad?
Good morning, Vice President Paul, members of the board. A couple of quick project updates. As you're aware, we're under construction for our Wall 203 drilling in San Jacinto. Happy to report that the drilling activities have concluded, and we have installed the casing. In fact, this week we have dismantled the drilling rig, and it's been moved off-site. Having said that, later this month, we will be conducting the wall development activities. Our schedule outlines that we will complete project activities, including removal of the sound wall, by the end of September. So we're on track with that project. And related to that, as Nick mentioned last week, we did receive 8 bids for our Mountain Avenue West replenishment project. The lowest apparent bid was at the amount of $13.8 million as compared to the engineer's estimate of $17 million. So we're in the process of reviewing the bids, and we will be providing recommendations for award of contract to the board in September. That's it.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Wall.
Good morning. Hey, I just want to report to the board. I received a phone call from Metropolitan on Monday reporting that there is a leak on a 88-inch pre-stressed concrete pipe down in the San Diego County Water Authority's area about 5 miles south of the Met jurisdiction line. So they are now working with San Diego. They're working on a repair plan, looking to see how they might go about making that repair. I understand it's only about 30 gallons a minute, but it's made difficult by the fact that it's a portion of the pipeline where there's 300 PSI, so it's not easily done. So San Diego's actively working to see how they might go about making those repairs. They will be doing a conference call with Metropolitan and affected agencies, I believe, on Friday. As it sits today, it'll have minimal impact on EWB's customers. However, Rancho California Water District receives a significant portion of their flow from Eastern's connection EM13, as well as 2 connections to Western, that's WR26 and WR28. So to try to get a handle on what those impacts might be to Rancho, they are actively doing a stress test on their system to see how, by firing up additional wells, how long they can ride without imported water from Metropolitan via Eastern or via Western. That stress test will go as long as they determine they can run. That'll be information that will be used to help develop this plan for the shutdown and repair. So I just want to report that. I don't believe that the repairs can occur within the next 2 weeks. It sounds like it's going to be just a little around 2 weeks or a little farther out than that.
So. And the leak is fairly stable, right, at this kind of 30 gallons per minute range.
Right. Yeah. So just
very good.
Keep it posted as we get more.
Thank you very much. Thank you for all the good reports, everyone. With that, we will go to item 3 on our agenda, which is the consent calendar. And if any members wish to pull an item off the consent calendar,
I'll move it.
In that case, we have a motion.
Second,
I will ask the secretary to call the roll.
Director Sullivan?
Sullivan, aye, yes.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Recker?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
That is 4 ayes.
Very good. Thank you very much. We will now go to item number 4 on our agenda, which is the action calendar. We will take up item A, which I understand Nick is going to give a presentation. I know we have a couple speakers cards. It's the preference of the chair is to let's take the staff presentation first, and then we will take our public comment on it.
Thank you.
Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. Just so there's no confusion, I'm not Paul Jones.
He's a more handsome version.
So this item before you today is for your authorization to enter into a memorandum of understanding with Fallbrook Public Utility District and the Rainbow Municipal Water District to essentially explore, analyze, plan, and consider their potential annexation into Eastern. With us today from Fallbrook, I'd like to introduce Jack Levy, General Manager, and also Tom Kennedy with Rainbow General Manager. Tom, I think you want to introduce
him. I will.
Okay, great. Additionally, I'd like to also acknowledge and welcome Skylar Stevens, who has joined us from the San Diego County Water Authority, who's interested in this item. Last fall, with the desire to explore possibilities to reducing the cost of their wholesale imported water service, Jack Beebe and Tom Kennedy approached Paul Jones with a request to consider the potential annexation of their districts into Eastern. This proposed MOU between Eastern, Fallbrook, and Rainbow lays out the framework of our agencies to consider that possibility. So just to orientate you a little here, here's a regional overview of the Eastern and San Diego County Water Authority areas. The blue area shown up there is Eastern Municipal District's sphere of influence, which extends all the way down to the Riverside County, San Diego County border. And within that, the hatched area is Eastern service area. Below that, outlined in blue is the San Diego County Water Authority service area. And then up at the northern end, mainly south of Eastern and adjacent to Eastern, is Fallbrook Public Utility District service area, highlighted in yellow, and Rainbow service area, highlighted in green. So ultimately, to receive wholesale water service from Eastern, there will be a LAFCO process if this is the option that's pursued. The LAFCO process would entail a two-step process, which would include a change to Eastern's sphere of influence to encompass the Fallbrook and Rainbow service areas, and a separate LAFCO process that would ultimately detach Fallbrook and Rainbow from the San Diego County Water Authority and annex into Eastern. Taking a closer look at Fallbrook and Rainbow and how they fit into the San Diego County Water Authority service area, which is made up of 24 member agencies, Fallbrook and Rainbow being two of those. You see at the very northerly edge of the San Diego County Water Authority service area, which, by the way, extends from the Orange County, Riverside border all the way down to the U.S.-Mexico border at the south. We're looking at Fallbrook and Rainbow. I mean, they're very similar in nature in that they provide water and wastewater services. They both receive pretty much 100% of imported water to serve their districts. Fallbrook is a little greater than Rainbow with regards to population and service connections, about 9,300 connections at Fallbrook compared to about 7,800. At Rainbow, the population of about 33,000 compared to 20,000 residents in Rainbow. However, Rainbow's water demands are a little greater, and that's driven to a great extent with regards to about two-thirds of their demands goes to agriculture. So zooming in a little closer, just trying to orientate everybody here, we see the service areas and sphere of influence of Eastern, again, shown in blue, and the service areas of Fallbrook in yellow and Rainbow in green. As I said earlier, ultimately, if Eastern is to provide wholesale imported water service to Fallbrook and Rainbow, there will have to be a sphere of influence change, which would essentially extend Eastern sphere, again shown in blue, to encompass both Fallbrook and Rainbow. just overlaying on top of those service areas, showing here the Metropolitan and the San Diego County Water Authority pipelines and aqueducts that extend south down through the county of Riverside and into San Diego County, pretty much through the Rainbow Service Area. Metropolitan's pipeline continues about midway into Rainbow's area, and then where it terminates is then picked up by the San Diego County Water Authority aqueduct. Ultimately, and I would say that both Fallbrook and Rainbow have connections both off of Metropolitan's pipeline as well as the San Diego County Water Authority. So ultimately, if they're looking into annexing into Eastern, they would be looking to take their water entirely from Metropolitan. This is something that would have to be looked at. I think for Fallbrook, where the lion's share of the water is taken from Metropolitan, it should be a fairly straightforward process. For Rainbow, there's going to be some other considerations to be fleshed out. Possibilities may include extending a new pipeline from a MET connection, or simply just reaching an arrangement with the San Diego County Water Authority to wheel water through a portion of their pipeline. So what we have here is a graphic that illustrates an example of the differential, cost differential in wholesale treated water. It's been prepared on equivalent wholesale treated water basis. And essentially what we've done here to look at this example is we've looked at total commodity costs rolled in any fixed costs associated with the water rates, and melted those out on an average basis across the entire service districts of these three agencies. I will say that this scenario is just one example. It will vary from agency to agency within the San Diego County Water Authority area, but it kind of gives an indication as to the order of magnitude of the cost difference. Looking on the left bar here is the Metropolitan Water District rate, which includes their Tier 1 treated commodity rate and the some of the fixed costs associated with the readiness to serve charge and their capacity charge for a total rate of about $11.84 is demonstrated here. The center bar shows what Eastern would charge based on that rate to wholesale that water to other sub-agencies. For example, this is the rate that would be charged to the Rancho California Water District, which is what we're envisioning would be essentially what Baldwin and Rainbow would receive. And essentially, all that it includes on top of the MET rate is an additional $11 commodity charge. So then comparing that to the San Diego County Water Authority example here shown on the right bar, again, we've taken melded average rates, which are published by the San Diego County Water Authority from their cost of service report and other documents that they post, and we compare that on an equivalent basis to the what we envision the Eastern rates to be, and we come up with about $1,700 per acre foot. I will let you know that we've got some feedback from the San Diego County Water Authority, and they take an exception to this analysis, and they claim that the rate is actually more in the order of about $1,400. And again, I emphasize this is a melded average rate across the entire San Diego County Water Authority service area. And if you focus specifically in on Fallbrook or Rainbow or any other agency, it's going to vary from that. In this example, the cost differential is about 40%. You know, using San Diego County Water Authority's rate, it's probably about 20%. So there is an increased cost, and it's somewhere in the order of 20% to 40%. As we consider this potential annexation, ultimately it's going to be Rainbow and Fallbrook's responsibility to do their own economic analysis and drill into what that financial value and benefit and or risk may be to them, and ensure that they understand what those great differentials is. Eastern is pretty much indifferent to what this is. We're a willing and supportive partner in preparing this analysis. But this just gives you an example of what Fallbrook and Rainbow are looking at. And this is really the heart of what's driving their desire to consider the possibility of annexing into Eastern. So some potential considerations associated with Rainbow Fulbright's annexation into Eastern include these items. There's the County Water Authority Act, which contains provisions for potential detachment, including a public vote. The parties here are going to have to understand and follow those requirements. Financial considerations, as I just mentioned, there's imported water cost reductions anticipated associated with Eastern providing that wholesale service. We believe that there is no annexation fees associated with Fulbright or Rainbow annexing into Eastern, as they are already annexed into the Metropolitan Water District. There's ongoing dialogue, and there's going to continue to be coordination and collaboration and work to be done with Fulbright and Rainbow, the San Diego County Water Authority, to understand what requirements are associated with detachment from the County Water Authority, you know, to look at what the requirements and obligations may be. As I mentioned earlier, there will be a two-step LAFCO process. One will be with San Diego County LAFCO, which will process an application for detachment and annexation, if we go that far. And another would be potentially with Riverside LAFCO, which would look at the change of sphere of influence with Eastern and encompass Fulbright and Rainbow. The change in the sphere will be contingent upon the detachment and annexation of Rainbow and Fulbright from County Water Authority to Eastern. Additionally, we've identified possibly a number of MWD administrative issues to be considered that include the transfer of assessed value, the basis for readiness to serve, MWD standby revenue, voting and preferential rights, water storage allocation, planned adjustments, and possibly others. In an endeavor to understand what these potential administrative considerations are, Paul sent a letter to Metropolitan's general manager, really seeking guidance, identifying what we believe are some of the issues that we need to look at, and asking what others may need to be considered. That letter was sent to their general manager, and copies were made available to other party general manager, including the Sandy County Water Authority, on that request. So with this chart, I just really want to give a kind of a high-level summary of what the purpose is and what's included in the memorandum of understanding. Essentially, it's a document that provides some transparency and ensures that we have alignment with Fulbright and Rainbow, and there's a clear understanding of, you know, potentially what are some of the key issues and what we believe the process will be in going forward in conducting the analysis. And then identifying roles and responsibilities. Essentially, it's a broad framework of how we envision moving forward to explore this opportunity. And if I would summarize it, I would say that the roles and responsibilities are such that it really identifies that Fulbright Rainbow are driving this request to look at this opportunity, and they are agreeing to, you know, bear the cost associated with that, which includes any costs associated with detachment and annexation, any costs and fees associated with the LAFCO process, and ultimately they're going to need to, you know, work with the San Diego County Water Authority to understand, you know, what, you know, that detachment responsibilities will look like. For Eastern, you know, we're really identifying that we're a willing and supportive partner in this process, and we will work collaboratively with everybody that's involved. And given our relationship and role with Metropolitan, we will, you know, facilitate the dialogue with Metropolitan as necessary to work through the issues to be considered. So going forward, next steps with, you know, with your approval today to enter into this MOU, potentially moving forward, we would be looking at, you know, preparing the LAFCO applications with the San Diego County LAFCO, as well as Riverside LAFCO, as I indicated earlier. We will continue to work with Metropolitan to receive their guidance on the administrative issues that need to occur. And that would include, obviously, conferring with San Diego County Water Authority. Fallbrook and Rainbow will need to continue to work with the San Diego County Water Authority to determine what those potential requirements or obligations may be associated with their detachment. San Diego County, LAFCO and Riverside, LAFCO approvals, if we go down this path, would need to be acquired, and that would culminate in a vote, a public vote, for both Rainbow and Fallbrook with regards to their respective service areas. So staff's recommendation today is to seek your authorization to execute the Memorandum of Understanding for consideration of annexing Rainbow and Fallbrook into Eastern for wholesale imported water service. At this point, however, before you do any deliberations or taking action on this, I'd like to bring one other matter to your attention. Monday of this week, we did receive a letter from the San Diego County Water Authority's General Counsel, who has expressed that the County Water Authority is taking objecting to us entering into this MOU. One of the more serious accusations or claims that they're making is that this item, given that the California Environmental Quality Act process has not been conducted yet, that this would be in violation of CEQA. At this point, I'd like to ask Stephen O'Neill to address that matter before you consider this item further.
Thanks, Nick. Nick's correct. Late in the afternoon of this past Monday, August 5th, we received a letter, and the letter was addressed to the board, actually, of Eastern. And the letter came from San Diego County Water Authority's counsel, basically contending that the actions that have been outlined in the MOU that the agencies may or may not take constitute a project for purposes of CEQA. And a project is a term of art within CEQA that triggers environmental review. They seem to be arguing that the actions that the agencies may engage in the future should be considered a project for CEQA purposes. And in my view, it's a misunderstanding of the document. This is really a planning document. As you look at the language of the MOU itself, it very clearly describes itself. It's as a set of terms for consideration. We have a series of recitals that talk about the parties contemplating this action. There's no commitment language in the recitals. And then when you turn to the language of the agreement itself, there's a series of numbered paragraphs. You'll see that the first seven paragraphs of the MOU are really a set of in the event annexation detachment happens, this is a set of post-annexation detachment conditions that the parties may consider at that time. They are not terms to, they're not intended to commit any of these agencies to a course of action at this point. Paragraph 8 does state that the district will proceed with an application to San Diego County LAFCO and Riverside County LAFCO for the appropriate detachment and annexation procedures. In our view, that does not constitute a project for purposes of CEQA triggering any kind of environmental review at this point. But given this evident misunderstanding of the purpose of this language, or the purpose of this agreement, rather, we think it would be prudent to amend and add to the language in the MOU one more paragraph discussing this issue. And that language we'd propose as new paragraph 19, and that would read as follows. Potential future activities identified in this MOU that, if implemented, may be deemed projects under the California Environmental Quality Act shall require the party's future compliance with CEQA. Such compliance may include, but is not limited to, a determination that the environmental impacts of potential activities have been adequately considered and mitigated in compliance with CEQA and any and all applicable environmental laws. So what that language is intended to capture is, number one, to clear up the misunderstanding that this is a document that is committing either, or excuse me, any of these three agencies for a definite course of action, and also to identify that in the future there may be some actions that require CEQA compliance, and the parties agree they will comply with CEQA at that time. However, at this point, for a document that's intended to allow the parties to explore and analyze this potential reorganization of the agencies, we don't see CEQA as implicated at this point. So we'd recommend, from my office, to recommend approval of the document with the new paragraph 19 that I just read into the record.
I would add the, I would agree with adding it, but it really goes without saying. It's like saying we're going to comply with California law.
Correct.
And looking at number item 14, it to me it says, subject to the approval of the parties and the respective board of directors following completion of the exploration planning analysis contemplated herein, as then determined, the responsibilities as then determined and as defined in this MOU. That tells me we're not locked into anything.
It clearly contemplates that in the event there's going to be actions taken at a later date, that there will be a subsequent agreement to document that transaction. And that transaction, whatever, if it takes place, will be subject to California law, including CEQA.
And the letter from San Diego County Water Authority referred to a number of sections, and they referred to an attorney general's opinion with regards to spheres of influence. Mm-hmm. But that's an actual action, mm-hmm. changing the sphere of influence. So it's not a planning study. Planning studies are exempt under as being a ministerial act, specifically feasibility and planning studies. And then categorical exemption, there's a categorical exemption for information collection. So I feel pretty comfortable in proceeding with the MOU, especially with the added Section 19.
I'd also clarify that if we get to the point where there is an application to LAFCO for a sphere of influence change, LAFCO will require a CEQA process, so it will be done at that time.
And we've confirmed that with Riverside County LAFCO in a recent phone conversation. And I think to your point, Director Slauson, in paragraph 14, it's very clear that there will be a subsequent agreement for implementation. And so it really speaks to the fact that, and there's other areas in this MOU that talk, that basically say this is to, quote-unquote, explore, analyze, plan, and consider the annexation opportunity. So again, we believe this is a planning MOU document. It does prescribe some potential terms should that go forward in the future. But we concur with certainly with legal counsel's analysis. This is not a project under CEQA.
Director Sullivan, are you with us? Do you have any questions for either legal counsel?
No, I have no questions. I completely understand Director Slauson's analysis of it. I'm in concurrence.
I had a brief question, Nick. On the MOU, it says it's for a 2-year period. Is that 2 years starting today when we take action?
2 years from execution of the MOU, yes.
Okay.
Until
okay.
such time that it's there's a new agreement in place.
Okay. Very good. Director Record, any questions? Yeah. We're good with that. We will go and take, we have two people wishing to speak on this item. I will take Mr. Beebe first, please, if you'd like. Please welcome to the podium, and we limit our speakers here to 3 minutes.
Sure.
So good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. I just wanted to thank the board and your staff for supporting this effort. To be clear, as it was mentioned, you know, Fallbrook and Rainbow brought this to Eastern, and so my hope is as we move forward, you guys don't decide we're more trouble than we're worth. This really is more about fit and cost and reliability for Fallbrook and Rainbow. So as San Diego County has become more urbanized, Fallbrook and Rainbow have stayed a little bit more rural. So our water cost reliability equation may be a little different. And that's really what's driving this activity. And so I just wanted to make it clear our board was unanimous in support of, moving forward on this MOU. I completely agree with what staff and the board has said. This is planning. If we do move forward,
what steps each party will take, which is important to make this a transparent process. So I think this step we took was to make sure we're doing this in a very transparent way. So even before we get to a place where we have to do CEQA and that public review process, we took this additional step of creating this MOU to describe, you know, the terms and what the parties are looking at, and then put it out both at this board meeting and at Rainbow's and Fallbrook's board meeting. So I just wanted to come to speak the support from the Fallbrook Public Utility District on this item.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Mr. Kennedy.
Good morning. Thank you for having us today. I wanted to first introduce two of our Rainbow board members, Meg Gaska and Hayden Hamilton, who came up to show their support.
Thank you.
As Jack said, we really appreciate the support of you during this process. You know, Rainbow being a primarily agricultural area, that's the Avocado Highway runs right through our district, it's been very challenging with the increased cost of imported water. And our duty to our ratepayers is to seek out the most affordable sources of water we have. And when we look to our neighbors who border us to the north at Rancho Water, and who are connected to the exact same pipeline, getting the water from the exact same treatment plant where we get our water, and we look at the price differential, that prompted a review of the County Water Authority Act to see what our options were. So we look forward to moving forward in the process. Like Jack said, there is a cost and reliability equation that's a little different for rural agricultural areas than it is for the biotech hubs and tourism industry and things like that. And so we appreciate the comments from legal counsel, and we concur with those, and we can get this executed as soon as we're ready to get rolling. So thank you.
Thank you. April, do we have anybody else that has filled out a speaker's card for this issue that would like to speak?
No, we do not.
Very good. Thank you. Any other further questions?
Just a question for both Paul and Steve. And this is no impact to our ratepayers, correct?
That's correct.
Good. I would move the adoption of the MOU, including the language that our general counsel suggested.
Can I just read it into the record then?
Sure.
Very good. Item A is to approve and authorize the execution of a memorandum of understanding for consideration of the annexation of Rainbow Municipal Water District and Fallbrook Public Utilities District into the Eastern Municipal Water District for wholesale imported water. And that, Mr. Legal Counsel, would include the additional paragraph, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. Director Record has made a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Director Slauson has seconded, and I'll ask the...
If I might make a comment. I just want to thank the board for consideration of this and also recognize Rainbow and Fallbrook. We've had an opportunity to coordinate with them on the preparation of this MOU, and we really find that the culture of those agencies is very compatible with us. We've enjoyed working with them on this. And really look forward to the collaboration and the partnership on a going forward basis. We do have provisions in the MOU that would allow us to further collaborate on projects at their option in the future and our option. And we just think that the partnership with the agencies would be mutually beneficial. So with that, we'd ask for the board's consideration of this item.
Very good. We have a motion on the floor. We have a second. I will ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Okay. Director Sullivan?
Sullivan, aye.
Director Pauley?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
We have four in favor with Director Corona absent.
Very good. Thank you very much. With that, we will move on to item B on our action calendar, which is to approve and authorize an award of contract with SCW Contracting Corporation for the amount of $486,500 under specification number 1377S Temecula Valley Regional Water Reclamation Facility Disinfection System, Piping Modifications, and Additional Appropriations of $702,168. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. So let's for some background on this topic. We're going to talk about summary bids, support services during construction, and provide a recommendation to the board to advance this project. The arrow photo on the right shows a figure of the Temecula Valley Regional Water Reclamation Facility. And the area that's highlighted in red is the area of topic this morning. It is the older portion of the chemical storage facility and also the pouring contact basin. It should be recalled under the 23 MGD expansion project at this site, we ceased the use of pouring gas and converted to sodium hypochlorite. We did this both for the new facility that was constructed under the 23 MGD, as well as the older portion of the plant that's highlighted in red on this diagram. This slide shows you a photograph of some of the improvements that were made in the older portion of the Temecula site. This was the location of the chlorine gas rubbers that were located south of the chlorine building. And at that location, we took advantage of the existing secondary containment structure, as well as the location and availability of space for new hyperchlorate tanks. And we constructed a new canopy structure to protect those tanks from the sun and to preserve the strength of sodium hypochlorite. Our approach on this portion of the site was to take advantage of existing assets and to reduce the cost of implementing the conversion from chlorine gas to sodium hypochlorite. One of the challenges that we have since encountered is that we used the existing solution carrier lines from the chemical building to the older chlorine contact basin. That required the use of carrier water, about 180 gallons to 320 gallons a minute. And that was combined with the sodium hypochlorite in the chemical building and transferred through the carrier lines. That has resulted in scale formation. And the photo on the right shows you an image of a pipe coupling that was dismantled and shows that we have solids that are actually forming in the pipelines. And that is hindering the operation of the new chemical feed pumps that were installed. What we would like to do under this project is to modify this system by putting tubing inside these carrier lines and to eliminate the need of carrier water entirely and to feed sodium hypochlorite directly to the chlorine contact basin. Now, it may sound pretty simple to put tubing inside an existing line. However, it's a little bit more complicated than that. We have a photo on the right that shows the installation of new double-contained piping inside the chemical pump room. You can see at the end of that room in that building, you have to pour through the wall. And on the left, you see a schematic diagram that shows the pathway from the chemical building to the chlorine contact basins. And to the extent that we can take advantage of the carrier lines, we will. There are a couple locations where we have to install some trenches to put new piping in, as well as activating around corners to put in new pull boxes. So we have to put new vaults in. And once we get to the chlorine contact basin, we actually have to pour through the pretty thick walls of chlorine contact basins. There's several walls in a chamber, if you recall. Chlorine contact basins operate in a serpentine structure. And these walls are 18 feet in height. And the contractor's actually got to dewater the chlorine contact basin, go in there with ladders and work up at a roughly 18 feet elevation to pour through the walls. It's pretty time-intensive and challenging work to perform. We advertised this project in June of this year. We received four responsive bids on July 3rd. SCW Contracting Corporation submitted the lowest bid in the amount of $486,500. The engineer's estimate was $301,890. In a review of the insurer's estimate, we identified that they did not really include enough effort and time and effort for labor for completing the project. I also want to note that we had one contractor's, Pacific Hydrotech, that submitted a bid in the amount of $298,000. Subsequent to the bid opening, Pacific Hydrotech submitted a letter to us requesting that their bid be withdrawn because they had a material error in their bid. We reviewed the schedule of values for the bids, and we could see that material costs across the bidders were roughly identical. The labor cost was very different between Pacific Hydrotech and the others, so this supports that they had underestimated the amount of effort required to do the job. In addition, three of the four bids that were responsive are roughly in the same range, and we feel that that is a representative value for completing this project. Jacobs Engineering, the design engineer for 23 MGD, also assisted with the development of plans for the bids of this project, and they have submitted a proposal to perform engineering services during construction in roughly an amount of $28,000. The work that they would perform includes submittal reviews, responses to clarifications, change order review, technical specification inspection, startup support, and record drawing preparation. The schedule for this project, final design is obviously complete. The board award and consideration is this morning. We would like to be able to issue a notice to proceed for the contractor this month and expect substantial completion to occur around June of 2020. The recommendation in front of the board is to award a construction contract to SCW Contractor Corporation in the amount of $480,500. Award of an interim service contract to Jacobs for support during construction in the amount of $28,718. Admin award of necessary contracts and suppliers to complete construction of the project. An additional appropriation amount of $702,168 brings the total estimated project cost to $717,168. I have open for any questions at this point.
Any questions from the board? Director Sullivan, any questions?
No.
Very good. With that, I will ask for a motion and a second.
I move approval.
A second.
I will ask the secretary to call the roll.
Okay. Director Sullivan?
Sullivan, aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Racker?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
We have 4 in favor with Director Corona absent.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We
will move on to item C, which is to approve and authorize a cyclic storage agreement and credit agreement with Metropolitan Water District of Southern California. Good morning.
Good morning, Vice President Pauly and members of the board. As Paul mentioned earlier this morning, a few weeks ago, Metropolitan notified its member agencies about their concern about not being able to capture all the available supplies this year. That's based on the recent increase in state water project allocation to 75%, coupled with a continued trend in low demand. And therefore, they were planning on implementing their cyclic credit offset program. So Metropolitan has an established cyclic program. This program allows Metropolitan an enhanced management of their supplies during surplus conditions, like what we're experiencing this year, by delivering additional imported water to member agencies. Cyclic agreements are established as an account between Metropolitan and a member agencies, and it allows for these supplies to be paid for over a 5-year time frame on an agreed-upon schedule. They also offer, under certain conditions, a cost offset credit of up to $225 per acre foot, which could be made available to member agencies for storing the water in the cyclic account. This credit program is only available during specific conditions. These conditions that exist must pose a risk to MWD of not being able to capture all the available imported supplies. The member agency has to take action on Metropolitan's request to increase their storage. The supplies available are above and beyond what the member agency would typically purchase as their baseline operations. And there's an assumption that the member agency incurs additional costs above and beyond what they would be normally incurring to compared to taking this additional imported supply. For example, for us, the cost difference between pumping our local groundwater compared to purchasing additional imported water. The credit is really intended to make a member agency whole. So in April of 2019, Metropolitan's board authorized their general manager to provide a credit of up to $225 per acre foot to member agencies to take this additional water. That credit is based on the $319 acre foot of treatment surcharge typically applied, less an agency's avoided cost. For example, the avoided cost for pumping or disinfection for the local supply. Again, this is meant to offset the increased costs associated with taking the surplus deliveries into the cyclic accounts. And Metropolitan has established some flexibility in the program by allowing credit available for either treated or untreated supplies, and also in terms of whether the program is an in-lieu or a direct recharge scenario. Eastern has participated in the program as a member agency supporting Rancho California Water District's program in the past. In November of 2017, Eastern Metropolitan and Rancho California Water District entered into an agreement that allowed for Rancho to take deliveries in 2017 into a cyclic account. Ongoing deliveries were reinstated in May of 2019, and Rancho is currently in the process of negotiating an amendment with West Metropolitan to increase the terms of their capacity from 10,000 acre foot to 30,000 acre foot. In addition, Rancho will require a credit agreement to take advantage of the credit offset program. For Eastern, we need a separate CCLIC agreement and credit agreement in order to participate in the program and take advantage of the credit offset. In looking at the program and how Eastern might benefit from the CCLIC program, we looked at various options, both from untreated and and treated and in lieu and recharge scenarios. And looking at 2019 and our current operating scenarios and system constraints, what our participation would look like for us would be to purchase additional treated water through the Mills Water Treatment Plant and reduce our pumping in the Hemet-San Jacinto Basin and accumulate carryover credits equivalent to that additional net purchase. We would establish an overall cyclic agreement that would allow for purchases of up to 30,000 acre feet. The credit agreement is on a much shorter duration and really assumes water purchases over a two-year period. And what we've estimated for the remaining of calendar year 2019, we could purchase up to 4,500 acre feet. And if the deliveries continue into calendar year 2020, we've estimated that we could receive approximately 800 acre feet per month in additional imported water offsets. So the table below shows the comparison of our demands in the San Jacinto Valley compared to what we've estimated for the amount of cyclic water that we would purchase. These numbers are not exactly identical because there are a certain number of wells in the basin that require to remain in operation even when we're purchasing additional imported water. So there are a couple wells in the lower zone that require to remain in operation in order to maintain the pressure in the system. And in the upper zone, there are a few customers that do not have another source for water, so we need to maintain those wells as well. So that is why the difference between the demand and the amount of water that we would achieve through the cyclic account are a little different. What we've estimated for that approximate 4,500 acre feet is just under $5 million with about a $950,000 credit from Metropolitan. The financial benefits of this program are twofold. One, the fact that we get the credit, but also, in essence, what we're doing is we're purchasing water at the 2019 rate for future years, so avoiding that escalated cost for future years. So if we assume that 4,500 acre feet that we purchased in 2019 is utilized over the next 3 years, 2020, 2021, and 2022, we see almost a $1.4 million in savings compared to if we had purchased that water at those rates in the associated years. We have to develop a two-year operating plan as part of our process with Metropolitan to be eligible for the program. And what our two-year operating plan looked like was to maximize our imported water via the Simpson conveyance system and minimize the groundwater pumping during those cyclic deliveries. As I mentioned, we have to maintain operation of certain wells, and we also need to maintain a minimum flow through our Hemet filtration plant. We also have a priority to capture as much of the Saboba settlement water recharge. As Paul mentioned, we are nearing the end of our 2020 commitment for that, but that is our priority. So through this program, in this operating scenario, we're able to do both, maintain the Saboba deliveries and capture the benefit of the CCLIC program. So as I mentioned, the financial benefits, we achieve the cost savings through the credit program, and also in this case, the capacity charge is not in effect. There's also no capital investment required to enhance our local reliability. Often when we're looking at enhancing our reliability, it's associated with infrastructure. And in this case, it's just a matter of turning off our wells. We also have the ability to forego additional purchases in the future at a higher rate. We also get benefit from a storage perspective in our basin. It allows us to really start our banking program sooner, again, without the infrastructure needed to continue to enhance our banking opportunities. We're still able to recharge our Saboba settlement water simultaneously with this program. And the stored groundwater results in additional carryover credits. And this storage accumulates in accordance with the stipulated judgment. And it raises our groundwater levels for future pumping. So as Paul mentioned, we did take this item to the Operations and Engineering Committee on July 25th. There has been progress on the program since that meeting. Metropolitan wanted to start these programs on the first of the month based on their accounting systems. And so the option was to start on August 1st or to start on September 1st. And we were able to get a preliminary approval of our operations plan so that we could start taking advantage of the program on August 1st. There are several other agencies that are interested in the program. Only a few of us were able to capitalize on the program starting on August 1st. What we've been told by Met is the other agencies will start on September 1st. So as I mentioned, we got preliminary approval of our operations plan. We did meet with Met and review that. And we're currently working with staff to get the finalized agreements in place. And so what we request this morning is to authorize the general manager to enter into the following agreements, subject to non-substantive changes: the cyclic storage agreement and a credit agreement between Metropolitan and Eastern for the participation in the credit cyclic program, and also the agreement among Eastern, Rancho, and Metropolitan for Rancho's participation in the credit program as well. And I'll take any questions.
Very good. Any questions from the board?
No questions.
I do have one comment I'd like to make. I want to thank Linaya for the thorough presentation. She's coordinated with our staff and worked well with the Met staff to get that operations plan tentatively approved so we can start taking water August 1st. It really jumped us a month ahead. Also, I wanted to note, particularly for you, Vice President Pauly, we did brief the Water Master on this. The Water Master concurs with our interpretation of using the carryover credits, or basically this water would push into carryover credits. I would not be utilizing our storage program for the Hemet-San Jacinto Basin, but just more a part of our normal course of operations, and he concurred with that interpretation.
You briefed the Water Master Executive Director.
Correct.
And he'll probably brief the Water Master.
Correct.
At the next meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good, yes. Very good.
That's what I really meant to say.
I understand. With that, I will look for a motion and a second on this item.
I'll move it.
Second.
I will ask the secretary to call the roll.
Okay. Director Sullivan?
Director Sullivan, aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Recker?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Four in favor with Director Corona absent.
Very good. If it pleases the board, let's go ahead and do item D so we can get through the agenda, the voting part of the agenda. So if Director Sullivan wants to get back to his conference. So if we could, let's move with item D, which is to approve and authorize award of contract with Hazen and Sawyer for $248,740 for the Regional Water Reclamation Facilities Nutrient Loading and Treatment Assessment Project, an additional appropriation of $344,501.
Good morning.
Good morning,
thank
sir.
Thank you very much. So as a background for this topic, the district operates four regional water reclamation facilities. In 2015, we developed a wastewater facilities master plan identifying future capital investments for the district for these facilities. And during that effort, we identified new triggers for considering expansion, including biochemical oxygen demand, ammonia, total suspended solids, as well as the traditional approach of using influent flows. The reason we developed these triggers was the conservation efforts that are happening in this area have resulted in stagnant flow increases, while we are continuing to see increasing loading of biochemical oxygen demand, ammonia, and TSS. To be able to understand where we are with regards to capacity utilization, we now need process models that are sophisticated to be able to help us track the
status and utilization of our facilities. The industry currently uses pretty standard advanced modeling software packages. When our facilities were designed by Corella several years ago, they used a proprietary modeling software package that is no longer supported, and so we don't currently have models that we can use for these facilities. The models are basically detailed representations of the facilities. As the diagram shows on the right, each unit operation is identified. Its interrelationship with the other unit operations are calculated and considered in the model. And then the model is compared to actual field data to calibrate it to be able to ascertain the accuracy of the model. Once the model is developed, it can be used for evaluating scenarios for process operation as well as assessing utilization of capacity and to predict how future changes to the facility might impact the operation of the facility. We issued an RFP requesting services for the modeling effort to 8 consulting firms. We received 4 proposals in June of this year. We had a selection committee review these proposals, and it consisted of individuals from operations engineering and also our regulatory and compliance group. The criteria for evaluation included project understanding, relevant experience, the capacity and availability of the firms, and past experience and performance. This slide shows the review of the selection committee's recommendation. We did receive 4 proposals. The firms that proposed are listed. And the selection committee identified Hazen & Sawyer as the preferred firm to perform this work. I would like to point out on the right, a third column, we have the fees. And I want to discuss this a little bit to expand a little bit on why Hazen & Sawyer continues to be the recommendation for this committee, even though their fee is actually slightly higher than the second fee and higher than the third and fourth fee. Corolla, I would like to pay attention to Corolla at this point in time. Their fee is lower. They have done the modeling efforts for these facilities before. And as such, they probably know more about these facilities than other firms. There was an individual that left Corolla that went to work for GHD, and you'll see that that fee is also kind of commensurate along those lines. As the selection committee reviewed these proposals, we started looking closer at the staff, and we also started to consider what the intention and purpose of this particular effort was. And what we recognized was that we had some really good staff proposals consisting of very highly qualified individuals from Black and Beach and Hazen & Sawyer, and that these folks don't have as much detailed knowledge of our facilities, but they offer the ability to provide a fresh perspective. And they're not held to the previous modeling efforts. In other words, it would be truly an independent assessment of our capacities and not necessarily an effort to redo the efforts that were done in the past. Black & Veatch's team consisted of multiple teams of PhDs, very qualified, very experienced staff. Most of their experience was in the Texas and California region. Hazen & Sawyer really stood out. They have a lot of experience modeling across the country, including the areas in the East Atlantic and East Coast, where the nutrient standards are very, very difficult to achieve. The discharge requirements are very, very low. They have a proven ability to work in design projects and delivery of process modeling efforts, where the model is critical for the achievement of discharge standards. And from that standpoint, the investment committee stood behind selecting Hazen & Sawyer for this effort. Hazen & Sawyer's scope of work includes project management, data review, and data gap analysis, review of the process schematics for each of the facilities to verify them, development of process models, assessment of the treatment capacity of each of the facilities, as well as transferring the models to us. When we're done with this, we will have possession of these models. They will be industry standard models, and we will be able to relay them to other consultants and not be beholden to a single consultant to form future modeling in the future. The schedule for the project is consideration, obviously, by the board today. We would like to issue a notice to proceed this month. The modeling of the Marina Valley and San Jacinto facilities would be completed by October, We have already implemented some sampling of those facilities to support the calibration effort, and that was done before the lab was closed down for remodeling. The Temecula and Paris Valley facilities, the water quality sampling effort for those facilities would have commenced in November when the on-site lab is reopened. And the modeling of those two facilities would be completed roughly in February of 2020 with substantial completion of the project in April of 2020. Recommendation in front of the board is execution of the engineering services contract with Hazen & Sawyer in amount of $248,740. Admin award of contracts necessary to complete the modeling effort under the nutrient loading and treatment assessment project. Appropriation in the amount of $362,551, bringing the total estimated project cost to $397,551. I'm available to answer questions if you have any at this time.
Any questions?
No, we discussed this in option engineering. It seemed like a worthwhile program. So.
Very good. With that, I will look for a motion and a second.
I move approval.
Second.
Good. I'll ask the board secretary to call the roll.
Okay. Director Sullivan?
Sullivan, aye.
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Recker?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Four in favor with Director Corona absent.
And with that, we will take a 15-minute break.